Hi, I'm Katie, and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This week, I'm chatting with Jay Bird from Bean Learning. We talk about what it's like being a second-generation home educator and home education in the UK in the 90s. Jay tells us about her passion for project-based learning and gentle parenting. And we talk about Bean Learning, which offers UK-based online video groups and classes for home-educated children and home-educating adults. And now, on with the episode. This week, I'm talking to Jay Bird from Bean Learning. Hello, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me. I've heard all about your podcast from people in my home ed chat group, so I felt like a celebrity when you emailed me, actually. And I had to message them all, and they were like, oh, very exciting to be here.
Yay, I'm very pleased. Gosh, people listen to I know people listen to the podcast, but the idea that people listen to the podcast is like, oh, people listen.
Yeah. Well, I know. Yeah, I totally know how you feel. But no, I mean, people have said that it made a real difference to their early days, especially with home edding in the pandemic. People said that it was just amazing to hear about kind of people just getting on with life and home edding, and that it was completely normal, you know, that they weren't doing something totally crazy and ridiculous and out there like their family members may have been telling them they were.
Other home educators exist, and they're not all American.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, here are their stories.
Totally. Yeah, that's pretty much what they said. So thank you for the service that you're providing to the home ed community.
Aww, thank you very much. Right, tell me about your home ed family.
So I'm a solo parent to a 12-year-old son, and we also have a lovely cat.
Excellent. And how did you start home educating?
Well, I was home educated myself up until the age of 14. So home ed was always on the table for me. But then when my son kind of came of school age, in inverted commas there, we were actually going through divorce at the time. So everything was a bit up in the air and we didn't really know what life was going to look like. So we took him to see a school and he kind of liked it. He was quite positive about it. So we thought, OK, well, we'll try that for a bit. Yeah, he was kind of okay in reception, and we did some flexi schooling. We did he did one day of forest school a week with a home ed kid who I was childminding for.
Right.
And that was good, but then he just stopped enjoying school. The homework kind of sent him over the edge a bit, and he would start doing things like behaving in just the right way to be sent to the next room to read, because that's what he would rather have been doing.
Yeah.
And then he started refusing to go, and I just thought, well, you know, that's not okay. I'm not up for this. I'm not up for wrecking my relationship with my child.
Yeah.
Something that I don't 100% believe in anyway. So being a solo mum, we had quite an intense relationship anyway, so I was a little bit worried about how that would work with him being home educated. And then I found a home ed setting where he could go 3 days a week. So I would have time to work and to spend time on my own, and he would have time away from me. So that was kind of what really cracked it for us.
Is that like a cooperative arrangement or?
It's a childcare setting. So it was a childminding business, but specifically tailored to home ed kids.
Yes, yes. Those things are made of gold when you find them in your community, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. It really made a difference. It just meant that I didn't feel like it was going to be like a really intense, just me and him all of the time kind of situation. I mean, I completely love him to bits, but I feel is important in any relationship.
Do you think it was easier to make the decision because you already had home ed experience yourself?
Massively. I feel I'm really grateful for that. Like, I so rate people who were brought up with that kind of like school is everything, you have to get your exams, you know, school is the best thing in the world sort of parenting, and then they make up their own mind that that's not what they want to do. I have so much respect for those people, because it's hard to change those patterns that you've been living since childhood, you know. So I think I had an easy ride there. And plus, my parents were on board with it, so that's always helpful.
So how was home edding in the 90s?
How was it? Yeah, well, I mean, we were kind of lucky, I think. I mean, I lived in quite a small town, but my mum was really proactive. So she got together a group of other home edders in the area, and there weren't loads of us, but there was enough to kind of get together and get discounts on museum visits, or, you know, we'd kind of get together at different people's houses and do different things. And, you know, we were quite busy, really. We did quite a lot of stuff. So yeah, I mean, it was great. There was there's actually a video from a news piece that on home ed on our Facebook page, Been Learning Facebook page.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's got footage of me at I think I was 11 or something, and my younger siblings, and my three younger siblings, we were on a trip to an airport and then they had a little chat with us. It's fairly hilarious. I would recommend it. But yeah, that's a taste of home edding in the 90s. We're mainly complaining about how people always asked us to do sums to check if we'd ever learn anything.
Yeah, some things never change. I think that still happens.
Yeah, yeah.
How did the media respond? I mean, like, in talking to the media in that way, maybe you were too young, but like, what was the, like, can you remember what the tone, I mean, you've seen it because you've still got it on the Facebook thing, how was the tone? Because I haven't seen that video, so.
Yeah, it was kind of like, check out this novelty thing that people are doing. But I thought it was quite, so it was fairly positive, I thought, that particular piece.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there are some articles coming out now that aren't ideal, and there's still a lot of misinformation and vilification and not very good use of statistics and things like that that goes on now, but that particular piece, I feel, put home ed in quite a positive light, apart from my dad saying, he got asked if we were learning and he said, well, yes, I think so. I keep meaning to phone him up and be like, what would you say now, Dad? What would you say now? So I'm not sure about that. But apart from that, it came over well. And the news presenter at the end kind of says, imagine the things that you'd miss. School dinners, homework. Obviously on side. So yeah, that particular piece was not too bad.
My impression is that when they're actually talking about, like, in, you know, like, there are people that I've followed and stuff who, you know, sold everything and we're going to travel the world for a year or something like that. Mm-hmm. And when their local paper or their local press get in touch with them, they're like, this is really interesting. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, because it's individual people.
Yeah.
The problem is when people start wringing their hands about the imaginary people who could be having problems. You actually get a much bigger problem when there's the people in front of you, you know, and they're talking to, you know, when the kids are talking to you and, you know, they're, you know, very much, you know, rabbit ears, like normal people. They kind of go, oh, OK, well, maybe, you know, the way I'm thinking about this isn't like actually how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what often happens is that home educating families get confused with children missing in education, which is a completely different thing. And so when those two things get lumped together, then it skews more towards the kind of negative end of the scale. But when you're actually looking at people who are electively home educating and off rolling as well, complicates matters.
Yeah,
when
completely.
You're looking at people who are electively home educating, it is, like you say, it's just people doing their lives, you know, for good reasons and because they love their children and they want the best for them, and you can't really argue with that, right?
No, because it's right in front of you and you're going, oh, okay, you're an actual person, you're not a boogeyman that we've, you know, made up in our heads.
Yeah.
So you've been home educating for like 5 years now, is that? So I'm trying to do the math in my head. So how is it different now from when you actually started?
So when we started, I think my son is quite a kind of sensitive person, and I think the school experience really affected him, and especially towards the end where he felt like it wasn't really his choice, and there were some things going on that he just wasn't happy at all. So when he first came out, there was a lot of de-schooling, and basically he just needed to a total rest, and we needed to just go back to our relationship and our connection, and he needed kind of all pressure to be off and to just do his own thing. And I think that's something that's often needed where there's any kind of trauma around things that have happened at school. So there was a lot of that, but what we're finding now is that we're moving more towards kind of project based work.
Yeah.
And so which is something that I just love. I love to have a project on. I've pretty much always got some kind of project on. And he really enjoys that kind of work as well. And actually that's informed my work with Bean Learning, because I now offer project based learning sessions through that platform as well. So on Zoom, which has been a really amazing experience working with other young people in that way. And the thing about project-based learning is that you can really delve into a subject, but you can also kind of go off and segue in different directions and things like that. And so it keeps it really fresh and really interesting and really relevant. You know, I mean, we just had the elections for the mayor and the police commissioner and all of that, and he was really interested in that. So we sat down and looked through the leaflets together, and he helped me decide how to vote. And you know, that's just an example of like a tiny little project based learning. But he learned so much through that, and we had some really interesting conversations. So we're doing a lot of learning through life and project based learning. And also he listens to audiobooks like all the time.
Yeah.
And learns so much through that and the conversations that we subsequently have. So I guess the changes from a totally hands-off de-schooling approach to a more involved project-based learning kind of facilitation role that I have now.
Yeah. Well, I guess the thing is it's giving him the ability to make his own decisions about it.
Oh, yeah, he has complete autonomy over it. And if he ever says, I don't want to do this anymore, then we just stop.
Yeah.
And that's an absolute fundamental for me for his education, is that he has autonomy over what he learns and when he learns it. Obviously, you know, if he wants to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and wants me to facilitate that, I would have a conversation about my boundaries.
Yes.
But other than that, I want him to be in charge of his education, because that's what I feel is the best policy.
Well, it's so much, it's intrinsic motive. It's in.
Yeah.
No, it's intrinsically motivated.
Absolutely.
You know, so I find that it just means that you go off in so many different directions. I know from my own like project work, you learn so much more than even you thought you were going to.
Yeah.
Because you just start picking up threads, because they're your threads that you want to pick up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Nobody wants to learn stuff they're being forced to learn at any age, but, you know, especially children. And, you know, Laurie Pickett talks about in her book about project based homeschooling, talks about the importance of relevance for learning and how you just absorb so much more that way, which I really feel strongly.
So what's going really well in a very difficult year? What's going really well for your home, for your home education experience at the moment?
Well, I actually took this question to my son, and bless him, I'll try not to cry now, he said almost everything.
Oh!
I know, which was really lovely to hear. And almost everything. And I think it goes back to connection and our relationship, and I've worked really hard on the way that I parent and becoming the parent that I want to be. You know, on that journey, you're never going to become exactly the parent you want to be, are you? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I've done a lot of work on how I communicate and being aware of power dynamics, and we make agreements about things and supporting his autonomy and facilitating that in whatever ways need to happen. And I think that's one of the things that has changed since I started home educating as well, because I've been on this journey and I've learned so much.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's that's absolutely fundamental to everything that happens in our home. It's just all about our relationship and our connection and whether our needs are being met, and if not, how we deal with that and how we communicate. And because I believe this so strongly, this is something that we offer on Bean Learning, is support for parents who would like to be parenting in different ways and move towards a more respectful, gentle parenting ethos. And so we offer one-to-one consultations, but we also offer a managing conflict course, which is more than just, you know, dragging kids apart when they fight or whatever. It's more about looking at what people's needs are and how they can be met, and having agreements, and how we communicate as a family. So we've got a free intro to managing conflict session on the 9th of June, and then that's followed by a four-week course, which really kind of lays it all down and you know, it's potentially life-changing, because that's really genuinely what it's been for me, going on this journey and parenting differently. It's really been life-changing, and I just enjoy my life so much with my son, and we have such a wonderful relationship, and I don't want to sound too smug, but that is genuinely the truth. And it's been hard won, you know. I've had to really work for it and delve into myself and look at patterns that I've picked up from childhood and what my core beliefs are and my relationship with my parents and my relationship with myself. And like, it's hard work, but it's just so worth it, you know.
And you're right, it's not about like that you're always going to get everything right. It's about like having this, like, it's almost like having a North Star that you can kind of like reorientate yourself to, so that you know, you know, even if you like, you know, that you're tired and you know, and you snap when you didn't mean to, it's never about being like perfect. It's about just like you're always trying to reorient yourself in the direction you're actually wanting to be in, because you understand why you're going in that direction.
It's about honesty and vulnerability as much as it is about saying the right words at the right time, you know. If you mess up, you mess up, you're human. And actually, I think it's actually really important to mess up in front of your kids, which is good because we all do it, but I think that's important because you don't want them to get the idea that they have to be perfect, because that causes all sorts of problems. So messing up, but then being able to be vulnerable and honest and say, that's not how I want to speak to you, I'm really sorry that happened, here's what I'm going to do in future, or, you know. And I've actually been through that process really quite recently, and again, it's been life-changing, just realizing that there are some ways that I react to some things, and I had a certain tone of voice, and I just thought, wow, I really don't want to use that tone of voice ever again. And it obviously took a while to get there, but and I'm not saying I will never use it again, but I'm definitely more on top of it than I was, and I feel really proud about that and really pleased for me and for him.
Because the thing is, it's like you get to apologize and show what an apology is, and show that an apology isn't just say you're sorry because you did this thing so that we can like put it behind us. But you can, you know, I mean, my God, live on the you know, just like exist on the internet and see people who can't apologize. And if they, and the people who do apologize and who are able to move on from it, and the people who can't apologize and who just get like it really weighs them down and holds them back.
And it's just toxic for everybody, isn't it?
Totally.
It's not good for the person who can't apologize either at all.
So I will put the dates for the next like free session, so that, you know, and the information about the course in the show notes, so that people can, if you're interested in that, you can get in touch.
Thank you.
So what problems have you been solving in your home, in your home education journey at the moment?
So one big thing that's actually happened due to the pandemic is that I was childminding before it hit, and I was doing after school childminding, which is great in loads of ways, and I absolutely loved it. But because we were bubbling with someone in the clinically extremely vulnerable group, and also we wanted to be very careful because I'm a solo parent, if something happens to me, then it's not going to be ideal. So I wanted to be kind of extra careful. So I've given up the childminding, and what that means is that for the first time actually ever since we've lived in this house, since 2013, it's the space is just ours.
Yeah.
And I'll be going back to doing some massage therapy work just because I love it. So we'll have people walking through, but it's essentially our space in a way that it's never been. So we're really excited about that. And one of our kind of projects that we've got on at the moment is creating this space that's purely there for us to live in, but also kind of do our work in, and a workshoppy space and an inspirational space. And yeah, just looking at our needs around that and trying to work out how we want that to be.
That's really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about bean learning.
Okay.
So how did bean learning come about?
So I was doing the childminding, and the pandemic started, and I sort of didn't know what to do with myself. And and Sarah, who is the co-founder, or one of the co-founders, is a very close friend of mine, and we share a very similar ethos, and we talk a lot about how we feel about the way that children are treated in society, and about our home education and education and things like that. Yeah. And so I, to be honest, I can't exactly remember how it happened, but basically we started doing some online sessions primarily with the children that I was childminding previously. And then it just kind of grew from there. And Sarah really loves Lego, and so we started doing some Lego sessions, and I like to do a bit of arty crafty stuff, so we started, it just all kind of evolved, you know, as these things do. And then the other co-founder, who I don't think still hasn't sent us her photo for the website, but she got on board because she kind of didn't have anything to do because of the pandemic, and so she built our website, which was awesome. And and then it just kind of rolled on from there, and we just got more and more excited about it and kind of what we could do with it, and how we could reach people in a different way to the kind of face-to-face work that we've been doing before, which we both love, but also it's really nice to be able to reach out a bit further. And, you know, I have people on my sessions from France and from Switzerland, and someone from Denmark. I think we had someone in the US at one point. So, yeah, so it's kind of feels nice to be able to really extend out internationally and nationally and reach people that we may not otherwise have reached.
And it must be like, I mean, you have a home ed chat group, don't you? Like a regular meetup for home ed parents digitally.
Free online one on Tuesday nights, which has been amazing. Sorry, you had a question.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, at a time when it's been, you know, really difficult for, you know, for home ed people to come together and talk apart from digitally, it must have been. It must have been a godsend for people to actually have a place where they can just, particularly new home educators and people who are actually coming into this.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was really aware, I mean, myself as a home educating parent.
Yeah.
But I was also seeing a lot of people saying, I've just started home educating due to the pandemic, or, you know, I've noticed there were so many people who were saying, I've had my kids at home and I've just noticed how they're flourishing, and I'm really excited to be involved in their learning, and I don't want to send them back. And, you know, but they were starting home ed at a time when home ed wasn't normal home ed. And, you know, and they were worried that there wouldn't be any groups to go to, or there wouldn't be any other home eders in their area, and they didn't know what it looked like. And just all of those little questions and worries and niggles that you have when you start home edding. Yeah. And normally you go to a group and you have a cup of coffee and somebody says hello and you go, ah, and they go, it's okay. I know what that feels like, but it's going to be okay. And answer all those little practical questions and just reassure you, you know, and that just wasn't available. And I just felt wretched that it wasn't available. And so I started the group, and it's just, I look forward to it so much. I really love it. And we've had some really interesting chats. And we sort of have a theme. We're still kind of evolving and deciding what we want to do, I think. But I think what we've decided is that we'll have a kind of once a month newbies kind of and considering session so that people can come with all of their questions and we can do all of the supporting and the informing and you know the reassuring. And then we're going to have one where everyone just comes and says whatever is on their minds. And then we kind of have guests as well. So we've got we had a really useful session of talking about how, you know, family and friends and strangers are sometimes not very supportive of home ed and how, you know, sometimes they say things which are difficult to hear and we don't always know how to respond to those things. And we spent a long time talking about all of the things that had been said to us, but didn't really find any kind of solutions of what to say back. We were all kind of like, I don't know. But it sucks.
It's cathartic, but not practical,
exactly,
basically.
Yeah, exactly. So we've actually asked, we're lucky enough to have an amazing mediator on the Bean team. And so they are going to come and chat to us about that, about how to manage that sort of conflict in our lives when people are questioning our decision to home ed or criticizing it or... you know, some people are very well-meaning but misguided perhaps from our point of view, and it would be nice to have some things kind of on hand to say. So I'm really looking forward to that session, and we just had one about lying and how to deal with that and people's thoughts on that, which was really meaty actually. We delved quite deep but really interesting. So yeah, we're just trying to talk about subjects that people care about and that will be helpful, but also to connect with other people who are in the same boat as us.
That's fantastic. Yeah, because it's been like, I've never, I mean, obviously we're in a pandemic, so of course I've never known a year like it, but it's been so lonely to be a home educator. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like you occasionally have the people that you might text and stuff, but you just, you know, it's really easy to lose the... like acquaintancy people that you would have seen at groups that would have joined in with a, you know, where everyone gets together and just starts talking about stuff over in the corner while the kids are doing a thing.
Yeah.
You know, you lose all of those people. So I think, you know, to actually have somewhere online where people can make those connections is just, it's really important, not just for new home educators, but for, you know, for established people, because we're always moving into the next phase. Our children are always, you know, even if you have a number of children, they're always, the oldest one's always getting older. And yeah, children have different
they
needs.
They do that.
Yeah, they do. But you know what I mean? So, like, you can't just, there's very little time where you're actually wholly comfortable, I find.
Yeah.
You're always pushing and, like, actually, this worked for this person, but not for that person. So,
it's parenting, isn't it? You're always kind of playing catch up and learning who this person is now it's absolutely not just new home educators who come. We've got quite a few who've been home educating for a while, and that's really nice, because then you get kind of different almost levels of conversation, and you know, it means that the people who've been doing it for ages can bring their kind of home ed wisdom, but then other people might have older children or have a different experiences, and so yeah, it's a really lovely space and really accepting and open and just nice. Like, everybody's really lovely. Like, I just want to hang out with them all the time.
Oh, that's fantastic.
One of them asked if we could do a Bean Learning Festival, and I was like, yes, next year. There's nothing I would like more than to hang out in a field with you wonderful people.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Talk about Bean Learning's involvement with the Art Awards, please.
Okay, so this is something that we've just started to offer, and it's really exciting. We've been accredited as an Arts Awards Centre, and I'm offering Bronze and Silver Arts Award through my project-based learning, and we're also offering an arts award now with the next set of Lego and craft clubs So from the 31st of May is the start of our drop-in week, which means that all of our sessions are open to anybody, and you just they're just for that week, so you can pop in, check it out, see how you feel about it, find out what you enjoy. And then the following week, which is the week beginning the 7th of June, we'll be starting the blocks. So that means that we have 6 weeks of sessions. So you might do, for example, a Tuesday Lego club, and you come to that every week. And there's an option now to include an Arts Award certificate in that. So it means that you do it. We're going to make a PDF workbook. Mm-hmm. And so you can do that at home with your child. And there'll also be a few things in the club. But I really want to stress that people don't have to be a part of that, and it won't make a difference, because because I'm very much all about autonomy in education. And so if a child doesn't want to do the certificate, that's absolutely 100% fine. And there'll be no kind of snide comments or competition or any kind of that kind of stuff. If people just want to come and enjoy Lego Club, that's 100% fine. But if they'd like to do something else, something additional, then that's great too. The Arts Award is a really great. I actually got put onto them because my son did one quite early on in lockdown, and he's very much against kind of sitting down and writing things and academia and framework and structures, but he actually he did it, and I think it was a really good experience, and he enjoyed it. And there were he made something, he looked at an artist who he enjoyed, and he looked at a piece of artwork and critiqued it, and he also taught some art skills. And when you talk about arts, the great thing about Arts Award is that when you talk about arts, Lego can be included in that, so anything that's kind of creative, which
that's fantastic.
It's really great, because you know, art shouldn't be put in a box and you know, be confined to the realms of picking up a paintbrush or whatever. I think, you know, art is life and it's all around, isn't it? So that's one lovely thing about it. And it's just so flexible, and the way that it's assessed is like there's no kind of it's at this level or that level. It's just about, you know, did they do the thing? Was there an artist that they liked and they had a bit of a discussion about it? And you can submit that you can submit the work that you've done in all kinds of different ways as well. So it doesn't have to be a sit down and write this thing. It can be a video, it can be an audio file, it can be a painting or a picture or a model, it could be a photograph of something that they've made, you know. And so it's just so flexible and open-ended, and I just think, you know, it's really great for children who like to learn in a more flexible way.
Okay, so for somebody who's never used Bean Learning before, how do the Bean Learning sessions work?
So we have small group sessions, so there's no more than 8 children in the children's sessions at any time, and that's to make sure that everybody has the space to express themselves and share and just has time to talk. And they're completely open-ended, so I'm not going to come on to the ones that I run are I run the Lego and the craft clubs, and those are completely open-ended, so I'm not going to come on and say, right, let's build a penguin or let's paint a picture of a potato. I don't know. But anyway, that's still nothing. Say. So it's again, it all goes back to connection with me. It's like my buzzword at the moment. So we get onto the call, and I say hello to everybody, and we go around one by one and say, hey, have you got any plans for today? And sometimes there are children who don't feel up for talking, and there's a space to write that in the booking form. So you know, if some children feel a bit shy, a bit anxious, or they just require a more kind of hands-off approach, that's absolutely fine. But we say hi to everyone, ask if they've got any plans or anything they'd like to share. The children often show something that they've built at another time, or sometimes people say, I don't have any inspiration today, I don't know what I'm going to do. So we'll go around the rest of the group and see what everybody else is making or showing, and then come back and say, did any of that inspire you? And if it did, cool. And if it doesn't, we talk about some stuff like what you are into at the moment, and then normally off they go before I've yes. finished the first sentence normally. And then it just goes from there, and we talk about what people are building, we talk about how people feel about what they're building or creating, and why they're using certain bits and what they particularly like about that. And there's a lot of from my part open-ended questions. Yeah. and I try to be as unconditional as possible. I do say the word cool a lot, but that is because I think things are really cool.
It's hard to get far, very far with Lego without feeling like you need to say the thing is
so
cool.
It has
to
be said. And you know, the same with craft. And so we have these drop-in weeks where people can come and try stuff out. But we also have blocks, and the beauty of blocks is that even though it's over Zoom, and you might think that this would be difficult to do, but the children really build relationships and they get to know each other, and it's just so lovely to see. Like this week, we've just had some absolutely gorgeous examples of children being inspired by other children's work. Yeah. And you know, we had one boy come and he'd made a transformer, because another child in that session is always making transformers, and the look on his face, he was so excited to share it with this other child. Look what I made a transformer as well. And that's that's really beautiful, and that's really pretty much what I live for. So we also have a drama club which is run by the amazing Lucia D'Inverno, and that's slightly more structured in that she will sit down and prepare what games are going to happen, but it's also very responsive. And so if the kids aren't into something, or they really want to play something else, or you know, the plan is to do this for 5 minutes and that for 10, but they end up doing the first thing for 20 minutes, then that's 100% fine. And that is, I started off doing the drama clubs with her, and to be honest, I really miss them. They were awesome. We did this amazing radio play, which we ended up recording for friends and family with the older kids. And that was just such a lush experience, like seeing them create this radio play from scratch, like the characters, the story, everything, sound effects.
Oh, wow.
And then the younger kids do, it's more kind of play based, but also lots of playing with the older ones. And it's been a really interesting journey as well. That was seeing what we could do with Zoom, like working with Zoom instead of in spite of it.
Yes.
So we did some fun, you know, passing jelly through the camera, and that was a lot of fun. So that's on the child side. And then for adults, we have the home ed chat on Tuesdays, which is completely free and open to everybody. And we also have a lovely, lovely yoga session by a wonderful woman called Janine, and literally the most relaxed I have ever been. So I highly recommend that as a self-care, yes. as a self-care session. And then the intro to managing conflict and the managing conflict course. And we run other things for parents as well. So, yeah, based in connection and gentle, respectful ethos. And we're also up for doing bespoke sessions, or up for hearing suggestions if people want other things as well. I've been talking this week to somebody who's asked us if we could run a session for young people who are autistic, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
Because we work with a lot of people who are autistic. A lot of the children who come to our sessions are autistic. So that's exciting. So yeah, that's what we do.
So that means that you really like part of your work then is sort of audience. I mean, it sounds like in your groups are very like they're child led, but it also sounds like your kind of greater ethos is that, you know, you have the flexibility to, where you can actually provide things that the community requests of you.
Yeah.
Rather than just, here is our stall and it is set out, you know, take or don't take.
No, we absolutely encourage any kind of feedback. You know, we always want to be growing and learning, and definitely our plan for the future is to really increase the sessions that we're offering and you know, continuing with this very strong ethos, but open up into different areas and offer more and recruit more session leaders and keep growing, because we want to keep reaching people, we want to keep supporting children, and we want to keep supporting parents and carers, and that's really our mission, and we want to do that as well as we can. So any feedback or any requests are really welcome.
Where can people find you?
So our website is www.beanlearning.com, and that's b-e-a-n as in the legume like baked beans, so that's the website, and from there you can get onto our Instagram and our Facebook, and we've got a phone number if you need to call us. We've got an email address, you can reach us in all sorts of ways.
I will have all of the links to Bean Learning in the show notes. It's been fantastic to speak to you today. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things we talk about in this episode, or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes on the blog at homeedvoices.co.uk, or follow the link on Instagram at homeedvoicespodcast, or Twitter at homeedvoices. This is episode 33. If you want to support the show, there are a number of things you can do. We really want to keep the podcast advert free, but we also really want to be able to pay our guests. And with that in mind, we've started a Patreon for the podcast, which you can find at patreon.com/homeedvoices. Patreons will get extra stuff like extra book chat, Q&As, etc. You can also help by rating and reviewing the show at Apple Podcast, as it helps more people find out about it. The Homeed Voices podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hemrell. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by C-Stock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or anywhere else where podcasts are found. I'll be back with a new episode soon, but in the meantime, stay safe, and as much as possible under the circumstances, here's to more home ed adventures.